Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Now, Paul wasn't willing to yield to Barnabas, and Barnabas wasn't willing to yield to Paul, when in reality, they both should have been willing to yield. Because any time we stomp our feet, it will be my way or the highway. That's not godly. That's not a godly statement.
Ministry can be tough. Today on Practical Christian Living, we are studying problems that arise between Paul and Barnabas as they are setting up for their second missionary journey. It is heartbreaking when believers have disagreements that cause division, but it happens. With more on how to lead in humility and make sure we're allowing God to lead the way, here's part two of our study in Acts 15, 30 through 41 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We don't know what John Mark said when he left. All we're told is that he left them in Pamphylia. And Paul's upset about it, obviously. But Paul doesn't want to bring him, but we don't know why. And I think that's important for us to understand. So a lot of people want to put the blame on Paul here. And maybe if he was kind of that tough guy and he departed us and I'm not taking him, then we could kind of go, well, maybe I ought to give people other chances. Now let's go to Barnabas. Barnabas is the son of encouragement. That name, again, given to him by the apostles. Everywhere he went, he encouraged. So he looked at John Mark. He saw the potential in him being used by God in the early church to be able to minister. And he said, I want to take him. I want him with us. I want to give him another shot. I want to give him another chance. He had probably said to John Mark, you can do it. You can go with us, and I'm going to help you. He was an encourager, and he wanted to do that. And so he cared about John Mark and became determined. Now, James 3, 17 and 18 says this, but the wisdom that is from above. So there's a wisdom, a worldly wisdom, and there's a wisdom that's from above. And you might say worldly wisdom would say, don't have people with you in a dangerous situation that can't handle it. And he had proven that he would leave and not finish what he started. And so that's worldly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure and peaceable. We're back to no arguing, right? Pure and peaceable, gentle. We're back to not quarreling. And the way we interact with one another when we disagree, willing to yield. This is such an important passage. Willing to yield. Read the rest of this, and I'll share more with you about the willing to yield there. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's nowhere in the Bible that it encourages us to be sharp with one another or to argue with one another. It only encourages us to be kind and gentle and peaceable with one another. This is the body of Christ. Now, willing to yield. That's an interesting phrase. I use this with our board, the board of directors. So we have elders at the church, and then we have elders that are on the board of directors. The board of directors is a legal requirement for a 503c company. You have to have a board of directors. So we have a board of directors, and they are the ones that make financial decisions. They also care for the spiritual part of the body. We have other elders that are not on the board of directors. Deacons care for the physical aspect of the body. They oversee the funds and helping people when they're struggling, and elders deal with the spiritual part. They'll go to the hospital and pray with those who are anointed with oil and pray for those who are sick. They'll deal with difficult situations that we might have with an individual who may be in sin. The elders will be the one to go and try to encourage them and talk to them gently and try to speak to them about what they're doing and being involved in sin. So that's the work of the elders. So the board of directors, sometimes one of the directors will bring up something that they want to do. And I don't really want to do it. But everybody kind of talks about it, but one person feels really strong about it. And so I'll say, look, I don't really feel strong about this. You obviously do. So let's go ahead and do it. It's willing to yield. It's saying, I don't always have to be the guy to say, I'm going to get my way. But it's being willing to yield. It could also work the other way around. I might want to do something, and I might bring it up, and someone there feels strongly about it. Now, I'm not saying that there would never be a time that I wouldn't go, I really want to do this, and I would really push for it. But I am saying the majority of the time when someone feels strong about something I want to do and that we shouldn't do it, I will say, you feel strong about it, so let's not do it. Or let's table this until we have another meeting, because the wisdom that is from above is willing to yield. I wish I could say to you that that has always been the case at our board meetings, but I was 25 years old when we started. Another one of our board members was 29 years old, and we had some wisdom that was on the board as well, but a few of those first board meetings were ugly. And I remember one time us fighting over $25 to do an outreach downtown. I wanted to do an outreach with Randy Ritchie, one of our worship leaders. He wanted to go downtown and play in some of the bars down there. One of our guys felt you shouldn't go into the bars and play, but this was a bar allowing them to come in on a night and play music. And I saw it as an outreach. And we got into it at the board meeting over $25. I look back at it and go, why didn't I just reach my hand in my pocket and say, you know what, that's fine, I'll pay for it. I'll do it myself. Why didn't I do that? I don't know why we went to such blows. So the secretary at the time, he's the guy that records everything, was the one who was really opposed to it. He really felt this was a compromise to go into the bar and to play music. He wasn't going to drink. He was going to go in and play and have an opportunity to share his faith. And I could see this is a gray area, all right? I could see it's gray. But we finally tabled it. We finally were like, and back then we made a mistake. We had said early on, it's got to be unanimous for anything to happen at the church. We can only do things when they're unanimous. Now that sounds warm and fuzzy and like a really good thing for a board of directors to do. The problem is one person took control of the board, and if he didn't want to do it, he would say, it's got to be unanimous and I don't want to do it. So now it wasn't majority. Now it was one person who could hijack the entire board. And when that person left, the first thing that we did was take that away. Now, the interesting thing is I can't think of a time since then that it hasn't been unanimous for the board doing everything that the board is doing, even though we took it away. Now, another area that I use this in is with staff. So, you know, we've got a large staff. We have staff meetings on Monday morning. We'll discuss things that are going on. Then we have breakout sessions, and we'll talk about things to do. I've got my idea of the way things should be done, and I'm talking to different people that oversee different parts of the church. These are incredibly gifted people in the areas that they're at. We wouldn't have hired them if they weren't incredibly gifted in it. We have an opportunity with an open spot to hire someone that we want to come in to be able to do what they do. And sometimes I'll go to them and say, I would like to make a change. I would like us to do this instead of that. And then they'll give me the reasons they don't want to do what I'm asking them to do. Now, sometimes I'm a boss, and sometimes I'll insist. Sometimes I'll say, this is really something that I want to do, and I try to address their concerns. Let's try to, you know, do whatever we can do to address your concerns, but this is really the way that we want to go. So sometimes I will do that. But there are other times that I'll say, okay, let's just go your way. Let's go your way for a while and see how that goes. But let's talk about it again. I'll tell them my concerns and ask them to address my concerns. But here we've got in the business world a subordinate that we should be willing to yield to. As I said, they're gifted. You put them in that position for a reason. So there comes to a point to trust them. Now, Paul wasn't willing to yield to Barnabas. And Barnabas wasn't willing to yield to Paul. When in reality, they both should have been willing to yield. Because any time we stomp our feet, it will be my way or the highway. That's not godly. That's not a godly statement. And any time a pastor, a leader, has to say, I'm in charge, he's not in charge. I'm the boss. You got to do what I say. You're not, if you have to say that, you're not leading and you're not in charge. The same thing is true, by the way, in a family. If the husband ever has to say, you're supposed to do what I say, he's not really leading the way that he's supposed to. He's supposed to lead, and leading means taking in the input of those that you are the head over, as the Bible says about the husband being the head over the wife, but you also are willing to yield. If you're the kind of leader that is like, my way, I'm the boss, I'm the guy, buddy, you got a lot to learn. You are going to be, I could make your life so much better by just spending a few minutes with you talking about the way you should interact with your wife. My wife has so much wisdom and will talk to me about things that I want to do, and her way is definitely better, and that's the willing to yield aspect. And we all should be there. And that's what Paul and Barnabas don't have. And because of that, the contention becomes so sharp, they part company, and that's tragic. Now, we know Barnabas isn't perfect, and we know Paul isn't perfect. We know they're people, and just like every other person in the Bible, they have problems that arise. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. I wish that we could be, but none of us will be. Now, this tells us a few things, okay? Number one, it is not common to find yourself in a dispute with another Christian. It's interesting, right now on YouTube, we've got a short up where I talk about, I quote the Bible passage, a man that isolates himself seeks his own way. And then I talk about having friends and people that you are accountable to. And people don't like that short. They are, the comments, you can go on YouTube, you can read the comments under it. They're like, the people have hurt me and the church has hurt me. You're telling me I have to have them in my life? At the end of that clip, I say something like, may God bring real friends into your life. So people may hurt you. But the Bible says, don't neglect the gathering of yourself together, as some are in the habit of doing. It doesn't say don't neglect the gathering of yourself together as long as you've never been hurt or if people have not treated you right. And so there's a group of people out there who are like, I'm not going back in because they probably fought with somebody or they had somebody mistreat them. So the Bible says, be kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You can't have a church, people interacting, all kinds of different ministries going on without people getting offended with one another. Number two, these are just a couple thoughts. Try to find a way to not let the contention become sharp. This is wisdom and not politics. Politicians are good at making everything smooth, everything over. But this is not what we're asking, what the Bible tells us. We need to find a way to let it not be sharp. We need to find a way, to a common ground maybe. I can see what you're saying. I don't agree with it, but I can see what you're saying. You don't say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You find a way to not make it a sharp contention. You find a way to let them know, I love you, I just don't agree here. That's important. Never should it get sharp like theirs. The third thought is, these situations give us an opportunity to apply some difficult passages. I think that God allows contention among brothers, fighting and contention, because it gives us an opportunity to be kind and to not quarrel and to yield, to take these situations. Where else are we going to apply them? Where are we going to apply yield to one another if we don't have disagreements with one another? Well, you got to yield to that person. Again, Ephesians 4:32. This is a hard one, and I quoted it just a minute ago. This is Ephesians 4:32, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Put away all malice, that's the desire to hurt somebody, and be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgiven you. I'll challenge you again where the scriptures say that we are supposed to be sharp with one another or that we're supposed to set people straight or that, where does it ever say that? The opposite is true. The Bible tells us to be tender towards one another. Now, people are going to offend you. It's going to happen. Offenses are going to come. So if something is going to hurt you, and don't be easily offended, because offenses can happen. And there are offenses that have happened to me where I have said, I just want to put distance between me and that person. I feel like that's an okay thing to do. I don't hate them. I'll see them and be fine with them. But because of an offense, it's caused me to question the trust, and I'll put some distance between me and someone. And I don't think that's a problem. Yeah, you don't be mean about it again, but I think that's okay. But you don't be easily offended. Now, there's a passage that tells us this. It's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 5. And this is the love chapter. It says, love suffers long, right there. We're going to suffer long with people who we're struggling with. And is kind. We're going to be kind towards people we're suffering long with. Okay? Does not envy. Does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Is not seeking its own. Is not provoked. That word in the Greek could also be is not offended. Is not provoked, meaning you're not going to get angry, right? You're not offended. Love doesn't take the offense. And can I say to you that sometimes the offense is worse when you pick it up for somebody else? I'm pretty thick-skinned. People can say things about me. They can say it to my face. I'm pretty thick-skinned. I just want it to be nice. That's all, right? That's pretty thick-skinned. But years ago, I had somebody tell me something about my wife, my late wife. And they came up and they said it to me, and I took up an offense for her. And I blasted him. I would never blast him, and he said something about me. You say something about my wife, you know? You guys got me on that one? You feel that way? You say something about my wife, you know, now I'm coming after you, you know? So we've got to be careful about that. Because when someone we love gets attacked, we can be offended. Well, they'll let it go, but you don't let it go because you're offended for someone else. So you just got to be careful about that. It doesn't mean a good friend doesn't defend their friend. You can defend, but do it kindly. Don't argue. Don't do what I did, which I came after them. And unfortunately, I'm fairly good at tearing someone down. And that's not a good skill to have. Verse 39, and Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren in the grace of God. So both groups were commended by the brethren in the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, what happened here is that God got two missionary groups out of one. And maybe that's why God allowed this. Maybe God didn't want this. We have a free will, and there is God's sovereignty. God wanted these missionary teams. They were going to happen. We never hear about Barnabas and John Mark's missionary journeys, but we do hear about Paul and Silas. The first missionary journey was Paul and Barnabas. The second and third is Paul and Silas. So they become the missionary team now. Now, a few thoughts in closing. Number one, why did Paul insist that they not bring John Mark? Was it because he was just kind of that tough guy? You know, you don't finish what you started, ain't taking you along again. Or was it that he really cared about John Mark and knew it wouldn't be good for him to go? We don't know. But we don't have to go to the place of painting Paul as being the kind of guy that doesn't have any tolerance for anyone who's weak. It could be that he was caring for him because he was weak and knew that John Mark wasn't ready, but would be ready later on to minister, and we see him other places in the New Testament. Number two, sometimes our working with other Christians is for a season, and seasons change. Sometimes there's someone that we work alongside of, and I've learned this in ministry, as there's been a turnover in staff. Now, we have several people on the staff that have been on staff for 30 years, and that's awesome. In the 38 years of the church, we've never had a church split. And that's an awesome thing. And I probably shouldn't say that now. Get myself in trouble. But we've had people here for a long time. And that's good. But also people I really love ministering with and working with have moved on. They've gone to some of my friends' churches to be on staff with them. Some of you guys will know who I'm talking about. And I'm like, you're taking our people. You're taking our people now. What are you doing? I love them, by the way. The pastor that took them and the people that left. Both of them. Finally, the Bible says, And the season thing here, it was a season for Paul and Barnabas. That season changed. Seasons change. And sometimes when there is a contention that can't be resolved, you go your opposite way. It just doesn't have to be sharp. You can just say, we're not going to continue on because we disagree. You know, how can two brethren walk along the road if they're not agreed? So there's seasons. Number three, the Bible says to be at peace with all men as much as it concerns you. So people may get really angry at you. People may get in your face. They may treat you wrong. But you be at peace with all men as much as it concerns you. This is first for you. You may be able to encourage a fiery young man who felt like he should rebuke a worship leader at Denny's in front of other people and bring correction, because he did. He brought correction into my life. You may be able to do that. But first of all, this is for me. This has been for my life first. And I hope this brings value to you as you interact with people who disagree with you. I hope that we see how the Bible teaches us the importance of loving one another. Now, I'm short on time. Today's a bit of a unique day because we had some extra music here. I'm not going to do an altar call, but I do want to say this. If you're here today, know that Christ demonstrated his love for you by dying on the cross while you were still a sinner. He didn't die for you in what you could be. He died for you while you were still a sinner. And today, if you will invite him into your life, if you'll receive him, if you'll say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. You make a commitment. Repenting is to make a life change. You are now repenting from who you were, and you're now following him and being his disciple. Maybe you've been close to the Lord in the past and you've walked away and you need to return, then please return today. Call out upon his name and come back to him today. And there's a new believers table that's out in this foyer with the new believers team. These guys are great. Talk with them. There's a prayer room that will be open there. And there will be pastors up here in the front that you can talk to if you need to come back to the Lord or you need to give your life to the Lord for the very first time. All right. So stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the time that we can spend here today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take these incredible truths that we're learning about being tender and kind and forgiving, and not argumentative and not quarreling to one another, and that we would bring this into our lives. And we thank you for the application, Lord, that we can even learn from this sharp division between a determined Barnabas and an insisting Paul. And Lord, may we learn to apply all of these passages, including the wisdom that is from above, that is willing to yield. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.